This is the Infection Prevention and Control Podcast, ICPod. A podcast for all healthcare professionals working with patients at Surrey and Sussex Healthcare NHS Trust to help prevent and look after patients with infections.
Hello and welcome to the ICPod. I am Ashley Flores and I am Nurse Consultant for Infection Prevention and Control.
Hello, I'm Ruth Bradburn, Senior Infection Prevention and Control Nurse.
This is the first episode of our Infection Prevention and Control podcasts, and we're going to be talking about the clinical assessment of diarrhoea and stool sampling.
In this context, diarrhoea is usually a symptom of gastrointestinal infection, which can be caused by a variety of bacterial, viral and parasitic organisms. Infection is spread through contaminated food or drinking water, or from person to person as a result of poor hygiene.
Please note that this information is about the clinical assessment of diarrhoea from an infection control point of view, with a view to whether a stool sample is required and whether the patient needs to be isolated. This information is not a gastrointestinal assessment and therefore not an assessment of alternate bowel pathology, such as inflammatory bowel disease, etc.
So how would you define diarrhoea?
Well, we're using the Bristol stool chart to document the seven different types of stool, and we are following the public health guidelines for Clostridium difficile, which state that stool types 5, 6 and 7 would be defined as a loose stool. However, please note that with type 5 stool, the sample would only be tested by the microbiology lab if it takes the shape of the container.
So if you collect a stool sample and the stool does not move when in the container, it's probably not diarrhoea. So what about the frequency?
Yeah, so the other thing to consider is the frequency of the bowel movements. So the World Health Organization defines diarrhoea as the passage of 3 or more loose or liquid stools per day, or more frequently than is normal for the patient. However, the Public Health England, or PHE guideline, is one episode of loose stools, defined either as a stool loose enough to take the shape of the container, or as Bristol stool chart types 5, 6 or 7, that is not attributable to any other cause, including medicines.
So the policy at SASH is that all patients who are admitted are commenced on a Bristol stool chart so that we know what the patient's baseline bowel function is on admission. It's really important to establish what is normal for that patient. Patients should be monitored daily for the development, frequency and severity of diarrhoea using the Bristol stool chart. So once you've established that your patient has got symptoms of diarrhoea, what would the clinical assessment involve?
Well, I think it's important to have a multidisciplinary review of all patients with diarrhoea. So first of all, you would consider whether there are any medical conditions causing the symptoms. So for example, if the patient had an inflammatory bowel disease or a history of bowel cancer, you may decide either that the symptoms are normal for them and therefore you are not suspecting an infectious cause, or it may be that they have an infection in addition to their bowel pathology. A clinical examination of the patient would be important. So have they got abdominal distension, abdominal pain, are they vomiting, are they dehydrated, and do they have a fever?
So what about raised inflammatory markers?
It's important to mention that inflammatory markers may be normal in a patient with mild C. diff disease. However, you would expect that inflammatory markers would be raised if a patient had moderate C. diff disease, which is associated with a raised white cell count of between 11 to 15 and is typically associated with 3 to 5 loose stools per day. Severe C. diff disease is associated with a white cell count of more than 15 or a creatinine 50% above baseline, or evidence of severe colitis, in which case they would have abdominal symptoms or radiological signs.
So once you've assessed the medical conditions that may be contributing to symptoms of diarrhoea, what other factors would you consider?
So you'd be looking at whether any medications may be causing diarrhoea. So for example, if a patient is on laxatives, you would be considering whether a stool sample is really necessary at all. It would be prudent to review and consider stopping the laxatives if felt appropriate.
So you don't have to send a stool sample if your patient is on laxatives and you think the laxatives are causing the loose stools?
Yeah, in this scenario, it would be acceptable to stop the laxatives and monitor the patient for 4 to 8 hours and not send a stool sample. If the diarrhoea resolves, then the symptoms were probably caused by the laxatives. However, if the diarrhoea worsens or continues, then of course a stool sample can be sent at this point.
So it's important to document this decision in the medical notes, isn't it?
Yeah, whatever the clinical assessment, it's very important that this is documented, as this demonstrates that the clinical assessment has been undertaken.
What about overflow?
If you think your patient has overflow, the doctor will perform a PR exam and possibly an abdominal X-ray. If necessary, the patient may be referred for further tests, such as barium enema or colonic transit studies, to confirm the diagnosis.
Are there any other types of medications that should be reviewed?
Yes, antibiotic therapy is one of the risk factors for C. diff disease, so it's very important to review any antibiotics that the patient is on, especially in terms of whether the diagnostic criteria are met, whether all the relevant microbiology samples have been sent, and whether there are any other tests that the patient needs, such as diagnostic imaging.
It's also worth reviewing proton pump inhibitors, such as omeprazole and lansoprazole.
Exactly.
What about any other relevant microbiology history?
So the infection prevention and control nurses add a biohazard flag on Cerner for any patient with a history of a multi-drug resistant organism or with a history of C. diff. When a patient develops diarrhoea, it's worthwhile checking on Apex or Cerner for any relevant history. If the patient was positive for C. diff in the last 4 weeks, a stool sample to test for C. diff will not be necessary. The lab will not test any stool for C. diff if the patient has been positive in the last 4 weeks, as it's likely still to be positive. In this case, the patient should be assessed for further treatment.
So following your clinical assessment, if you think the patient is not likely to have a gastrointestinal infection, there is no need to send a sample. It is, however, important to document your decision in the medical notes.
Absolutely. If, however, you think your patient may have a gastrointestinal infection, a stool sample should be sent and the patient isolated in the single room as soon as possible with contact precautions.
The laboratory needs at least 3 mL of stool to sample, and as we said earlier, we'll only test if it takes the shape of the container. Remember to print the label at the time the sample was taken, as the date and time of specimen collection is important. The specimen must be clearly labelled. It is essential that the correct sample label is applied to the correct sample container.
It's important to apply request labels at the patient's bedside immediately after obtaining the sample. Never apply the labels away from the patient.
So which test do I order for infection?
Well, one sample is all that's required for the lab. You need to request MCNS for community-type bacterial pathogens, which are screened using a molecular test called PCR. And that includes organisms such as Campylobacter and Salmonella, and parasites such as Cryptosporidium and Giardia. The lab will only test for MCNS during the patient's first 3 days of admission, because these organisms are normally community-acquired. Concentration techniques for ovocysts and parasites are not normally performed unless specifically requested or indicated by the clinical summary. So please remember always to include travel history in the clinical information on the request. You would also request a test for C. diff, but please note that stool samples are not tested for small round structured viruses such as norovirus unless an outbreak is suspected.
Once the sample is labelled and collected, place the sample in the pod system. If you work on a ward which does not have a pod system, or if the pod system is not working, please make sure you call the porters and ask for the sample to be collected. Then make sure they have collected it.
Then document that a sample has been sent. Nurse the patient with contact precautions, which includes hand washing with soap and water, using gloves and aprons, and dedicating a toilet or commode for that patient's use.
What should I do if I have no single rooms available to isolate a patient?
If you don't have a suitable single room for the patient, then contact the site team and request a single room and document that you've done this. In the event that the site team can't find a single room for your patient, then you can seek help by escalating to the infection prevention and control team or your matron. They will help you find a suitable single room wherever possible.
So thank you for listening to the first IC podcast of our series. Please do give us some feedback as to what you thought to the infection prevention and control team at SASH, or fill out an evaluation form on our intranet site.
This podcast was made by the SIM Suite at Surrey and Sussex Healthcare NHS Trust. Thank you for listening.